Stay tuned today for proof that Barack Hussein Obama was the most biblically hostile president ever elected in America. But first, Democrats assumed control of the House of Representatives last week, and Nancy Pelosi muscled her way into the Speaker's role again. She and Chuck Schumer in the Senate have every intention of holding America hostage to their anti-Trump hate for the next 2 years. Make no mistake, the shutdown of the government came because Pelosi, Schumer, and the Democrats sought to publicly humiliate the president by offering no compromise on funding for the badly needed wall between the United States and Mexico. Democrats are happy to vote for more than $12 billion in foreign aid, but then refuse to approve $5 billion for a protective wall on our southern border. Pelosi and other Democrats have called the wall immoral. But these same Democrats previously voted to fund the barrier on our southern border. Some of the most outspoken hypocrites include Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, Barack Hussein Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, among others. And they all voted for a barrier that Pelosi now says is immoral. In 2018, the Border Patrol apprehended 396,579 illegal aliens trying to invade our country. That's an average of more than 33,049 illegals every single month, and that's just the ones we caught. Many more evaded capture, and still even more got a visa to enter and never left when their visa expired. They are hidden somewhere among us. Many of these congressional Democrats live behind gated walls. And that includes the tall wall at Pelosi's San Francisco mansion. If a wall to keep people out is immoral, why do these hypocrites surround their homes with a wall? By the way, Nancy Pelosi owns 5 homes. Tell the homeless again how she's looking out for the poor. The greatest task entrusted to government is to protect our people. A 30-foot-tall wall will certainly go a long way towards stopping illegal drugs pouring into America, and it will be a strong deterrent against the hordes of illegal immigrants who refuse to use legal means to come here. If I had my way, the top of that 30-foot wall would be electrified. Nobody would ever be harmed at the top of that electrified 30-foot wall unless they chose to break the law trying to climb over it. Israel built a wall to stop Palestinian invaders who were killing Israelis, and that wall has been extremely effective, saving many innocent lives. Other countries have walls for security, including the Vatican. Are they all immoral? There has been a steady drumbeat from liberal Democrats and their fake news mainstream media allies to try and convince Americans that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are icons and should be worshipped as such. A recent survey found that these two were voted as most popular by an unwitting group of liberal fools. I wasn't included in that survey. Did they call you? The truth is that both Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama are frauds. Liberals tout the beauty of Michelle Obama. At the same time, they are attacking Melania Trump. If it's a beauty contest, Melania wins hands down. Michelle would place near the bottom, just below Joy Behar. Barack Obama was by far the most biblically hostile president in the history of the United States. In my research to prove that statement, I incorporate additional research by wallbuilders.com. Follow me as I detail how Obama was hostile to people of biblical faith and an aider and abettor to Islam. From December 2009 until the time Obama left office, the annual White House Christmas cards, rather than focusing on Christmas or faith, instead highlighted things such as the Obama family dogs. And the White House Christmas tree ornaments included figures such as Mao Zedong and a drag queen. Did you hear any outcry from the media? Not a peep. In May 2016, Obama appointed a transgender to the Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships, and acts of overt disdain and hostility toward traditional faith religions. In September 2015, for the White House dinners, Obama deliberately invited guests that he knew would be offensive to the Pope and who openly opposed the Pope's message. But he and the State Department very carefully avoided inviting guests that opposed or would offend the dictators of countries such as Cuba and China. In June 2013, the Obama Department of Justice defunded a young Marine's chapter in Louisiana because their oath mentioned God, and another youth program because it permitted a voluntary, student-led prayer. And in February 2013, the Obama administration announced that the rights of religious conscience for individuals would not be protected under Obamacare, the so-called Affordable Care Act. In January 2013, Pastor Louis Giglio was pressured to remove himself from praying at the Obama inauguration after it was discovered he once preached a sermon supporting the biblical definition of marriage. In February 2012, the Obama administration forgave student loans in exchange for public service, but then announced it would not forgive student loans if that public service was related to religion. Obama's acts of hostility toward biblical values includes the following. In March 2014, the Obama administration sought funding for every type of sex education, except that which reflected traditional moral values. In August 2013, USAID, a federal agency, shut down a conference in South Korea the night before it was scheduled to take place because some of the presentations were not pro-abortion, but instead presented information on abortion complications. In June 2013, the Obama administration finalized requirements that under the Obamacare insurance program, employers must make available abortion-causing drugs, regardless of the religious conscience objection of many employers, and even despite the directive of several federal courts to protect the religious conscience of employers. Barack Hussein Obama was born a Muslim. His chief aide was Valerie Jarrett, a devout Iranian Muslim. All of his male tutors during his youth were Muslims. One of the stated aims of Islam is to outpopulate other countries to gain the upper hand. What better way to have than to have a president who embraces abortion in the United States? In April 2013, under Obama's presidency, the United States Agency for Internal Development, an official foreign policy agency of the U.S. government, began a program to train homosexual activists in various countries around the world to overturn the traditional marriage and anti-sodomy laws, targeting first those countries with strong Catholic influences. Those who knew Obama in college tell of his many exploits with drugs and homosexual activity. There is much evidence to show the hostility to any religion except Islam in Obama's actions. In December 2012, despite having campaigned that he would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, Obama once again suspended the provisions of the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995, which required the United States to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to move the American embassy there. Liberal Democrats overlooked this demonstrable lie when accusing Trump of lying. In February 2012, the Obama administration made apologies for Qurans being burned by the U.S. military. But when Bibles were burned by the military, numerous reasons were offered by the Obama administration as to why that was the right thing to do. In August 2010, Obama spoke with great praise of Islam and condescendingly of Christianity. While running for president, it was Barack Hussein Obama who said that if the political winds shifted, he would stand with Islam, not the United States. The fake news media played down that statement. In October 2011, Obama's Muslim advisors blocked Middle Eastern Christians' access to the White House. In August 2010, Obama went to great lengths to speak out on multiple occasions on behalf of building an Islamic mosque at Ground Zero in New York, while at the same time he remained silent about a Christian church being denied permission to rebuild at that location. In April 2010, Christian leader Franklin Graham was disinvited from the Pentagon's National Day of Prayer because of complaints from the Muslim community. Did the fake news mainstream media make you aware of any of that? The answer, of course, is no. Also in April 2010, the Obama administration required the rewriting of government documents and a change in administration vocabulary to remove any words deemed offensive to Muslims, including the words jihad, jihadists, terrorists, and radical Islam, among others. In May 2009, while Obama did not host any National Day of Prayer as past presidents had done, he did host White House dinners in honor of the Muslim holiday of Ramadan. And in 2010, while every White House had traditionally issued hundreds of official proclamations and statements on numerous occasions, Obama's White House avoided traditional biblical holidays and events, but regularly recognized major Muslim holidays. Many of these actions are literally unprecedented. The hostility of Barack Hussein Obama toward biblical faith and values is without equal from any previous American president. But there is much more that the mainstream media did not tell you. It has been demonstrated that Obama decimated our military, reducing its strength to dangerous levels. Under the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama, here are just a few of the examples of how his administration changed our military. In January 2012, the Obama administration argued that the First Amendment provided no protection for churches and synagogues in hiring pastors and rabbis. In November 2011, Obama opposed inclusion of former President Franklin Roosevelt's famous D-Day prayer in the World War II memorial. In November 2011, unlike previous presidents, Obama studiously avoided any religious references in his Thanksgiving speech. In August 2011, the Obama administration released new health care rules that overrode religious conscience protections for the medical workers in the areas of abortion and contraception. In February 2011, although Obama filled posts in the State Department, for more than 2 years, he did not fill the post of Religious Freedom Ambassador, an official that works against religious persecution across the world. Obama filled it only after heavy pressure from the public and Republicans in Congress. Then, in January 2011, after a federal law was passed to transfer a World War II memorial in the Mojave Desert to private ownership. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the cross in that memorial could continue to stand. But the Obama administration refused to allow the land to be transferred as required by law and refused to allow a cross to be re-erected as ordered by the court. In November 2010, Obama misquoted the national motto, saying it was E Pluribus Unum, rather than In God We Trust, as was established by federal law. On October 19, Obama began deliberately omitting the phrase about the Creator when quoting the Declaration of Independence, an omission he made on no less than 7 occasions. So it was not a simple error, it was a deliberate act. In May 2009, Obama declined to host services for the National Day of Prayer at the White House, a day established by federal law. In April 2009, Obama spoke at Georgetown University and ordered that a monogram symbolizing Jesus be covered while he made his speech. In April 2008, Obama spoke disrespectfully of Christians, saying that Christians cling to guns and religion and have an antipathy to people who are not like them. Are you now getting the true picture of Barack Hussein Obama? Are you not concerned about the mainstream media keeping all of this from you? Obama changed our military. In October 2016, he threatened to veto a defense bill over religious protections contained in it. In June 2016, a military prayer breakfast, whose speaker was to be retired and highly decorated Delta Force Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, because Boykin was a traditional values Christian who had voiced his support for natural marriage and his opposition to Islamic extremism. In April 2016, on the orders of a commander, a 33-year-old Air Force veteran was forcibly and physically removed because he attempted to use the word God in his retirement speech. In June 2014, the Obama administration ordered that the U.S. government personnel, both civilian and military in Bahrain, must wear clothing that facilitates the religious observance of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. Then in October 2013, a counterintelligence briefing at Fort Hood told soldiers that evangelical Christians are a threat to America, and that for a soldier to donate to such a group was punishable under military regulations. You might recall that it was an Islamic terrorist, Major Nidal, at Fort Hood, who murdered innocent people in the name of Allah. No evangelical Christian was involved, except as victims. In August 2013, a Department of Defense military training manual taught soldiers that people who talk about individual liberty, states' rights, and how to make the world a better place are extremists. It also listed the Founding Fathers as examples of those involved in extremist ideologies and movements. And in August 2013, although the military does not provide heterosexual couples specific leave to travel to a state just for the purpose of getting married, under the Obama administration, it did extend those benefits to homosexual couples who wanted to marry, thus giving them preferential treatment not available to heterosexuals. In July 2013, an Air Force chaplain who posted a website article on the importance of faith and the origin of the phrase, "There are no atheists in foxholes," was officially ordered to remove his post because some were offended by the use of that famous World War II phrase. Then in May 2013, an Air Force officer was actually made to remove a personal Bible from his own desk because it might appear that he was condoning the particular religion to which he belonged. In April 2013, officials briefing U.S. Army soldiers placed evangelical Christianity and Catholicism in a list that also included Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, and Hamas as examples of religious extremism. In February 2011, Obama directed his Justice Department to stop defending the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. There are many other anti-religious actions taken by the Obama administration, but by now, you get the point. I decided to research the actions, not the false rhetoric, of Barack Hussein Obama, in an effort to blunt the impact of the Democrat and mainstream media's glorification of this fraud on humanity. Anybody who cannot look at Obama's actions in office and see his disdain for Christianity and his support of Islam is either not willing to look or cannot be objective. For more than 20 years, Barack and Michelle Obama sat in the Church of Jeremiah Wright in Chicago while this evil racist spewed his hate for America. It is an insult to our intelligence for the Obamas to say that they never heard their pastor's wild rantings against our country. That would be possible only if both of them were deaf. And even then, sign language would have been made available for them. For the Democrats and their fake news mainstream allies to continue their idolization of Barack Hussein Obama is a disservice to our country. It really doesn't matter whether or not Obama is a Muslim today. There are arguments for and against. He was born a Muslim, raised as a Muslim. He attended school in Indonesia, registered by his own mother as a Muslim, and has never disavowed Islam. As president, he did more to promote Islam than all other U.S. presidents combined. He also had his administration do more harm to Christianity and Judaism than all other U.S. presidents combined. Liberals idolize Obama. Many black Americans idolize Obama because his skin is black, although his mother was white. As long as the American people fail to recognize wolves in sheep's clothing, we are in danger of losing our freedom, our liberty, and our country. I appreciate your listening to my commentaries each week. It gets harder and harder to separate fact from fiction, given the fascination of the mainstream media with liberal Democrats. Just this past week, Elizabeth Warren has announced that she will run as a Democrat for the presidency in 2020. That tells you how far this country has come down. Elizabeth Warren claims to be an Indian. That's because she had a drop of Indian blood in her ancestries, in her ancestry. Most of us have some. I have some drops of Indian blood in my own ancestry, Cherokee. I don't claim to be an Indian because I'm not an Indian, and neither is Elizabeth Warren. Look for a host of Democrats to come out against Trump in 2020. They and the media have done an incredible job of beating up this man and making him some sort of demon that they can run against in 2020. The idea of politics where political parties work together to try to do the best possible for the American people. That era is gone. We no longer have that. We are as divided as, well, far beyond where we have ever been. You see, Pelosi and the minority leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, denying a security wall on our southern border. Why? They voted for it in the past, but because Donald Trump suggests it, they don't want to put it up. They called it, Pelosi did, immoral. She has a wall around her own home. Is that immoral? You can see the hypocrisy of the Democrats in this. They're trying to embarrass the president by denying that wall. But the president's right. He does have the authority to declare a security reason as to why we need the wall and go ahead and do it himself. Now, it'll cause the ACLU and Democrats to go to court and sue and cost the American people a lot more money. It doesn't matter if the costs of that opposing Trump exceed the $5 billion he's asking for the wall. They'd rather throw it away that way than to secure the border for the American people. That is what government was set up to do, to protect the American people, to protect the homeland. But that's gone the way of the winds because of political purposes. Join us again next week, right here, same station, same time. I'll have another commentary for you that I hope will ring a bell.